Hello, everyone. I hope you're all having an excellent and enjoyable autumn so far. Or spring, I suppose, if you happen to live in Australia, which is not inconceivable. Anyhow, here in the part of Canada where I live, the leaves have begun to turn color and fall from the trees, and the air is growing chilly and crisp. And, of course, the days are growing shorter, which means that the cycle of nature is repeating itself. For me, that always serves as a reminder of the grandeur of God's creation and the incredible wonders that he has wrought in this world. But anyhow, my purpose for recording this boo is actually not to wax poetical about that, but to share an article with you folks that I found particularly engaging, and it actually deals with the issue of nature versus culture. I subscribe to a magazine called Think Christian, which is published by Back to God Ministries. They're a Christian reform ministry in the U.S., and they seek to spread the gospel all around the world and share the good news of God's love by so doing. So this article comes from Think Christian, and I really think the message that it has is quite pertinent for modern Christian society. It's called "Is Civilization Natural? A Christian Answer," and it's written by Branson Parler, who is an associate professor of theology at Kuiper College. In a recent piece for NPR's Cosmos and Culture blog, Adam Frank poses this question: is civilization natural? As Frank ponders the global effects of modern cities, he asks whether we need to reconceptualize standard dichotomies, such as city/country, built environment/wilderness, and culture/nature. He notes that we commonly map key values onto this distinction as well, either exalting civilization as holding chaos at bay, or vilifying corrupt cities in favor of an unspoiled Eden. Frank suggests, however, that this dichotomy needs to be overcome if we are to build cities that will not undermine themselves in the long run. I agree with Frank that we need to rethink these standard dichotomies, and I see a Christian vision of reality as key to doing so. From a Christian perspective, the above dichotomies mislead. On the one hand, modern thinkers often exalt and romanticize non-human nature, so that any cultural development is, by definition, problematic. In other words, nature is creational while culture is fallen. Or conversely, we see the natural world as mindless matter to be overcome by human reason and technology, which can cure what ails us, perhaps up to and including death. In Christian terms, we might say that nature is inherently fallen and only culture can save us. A biblical vision of culture would have to answer Frank's question in the affirmative. Being created in God's image means that culture making is a natural part of who we are. Indeed, it is part of the responsibility given to us by God. So we dare not label civilization as inherently evil. To do so would misdiagnose where the real problem lies. With our propensity to sin, not with our ability to cultivate the inherent potential of creation. Culture is natural, sinful culture is not. The ultimate driver of sustainability will be faith. A biblical vision of nature sees it neither as chaos to be dominated, nor as pristine territory to be left alone. The wilderness is not the chaotic, without form and void, of Genesis. It is the expansive realm beyond human grasping and comprehending, as in Job. There, the bigness and incomprehensibility of the Creator is seen through the bigness and incomprehensibility of the creation. To adapt C.S. Lewis's phrase for Aslan, the creation is good, but it is not tame. Wendell Berry likewise echoes Job when he says that we are comprehended by that which we cannot comprehend. It's worth noting that Adam and Eve are placed in a garden, which is neither an untouched wilderness nor a concrete wasteland. Gardeners recognize that they are graced by a fruitfulness which they did not invent and do not control. But they also recognize that they are called to get their hands dirty with the work of cultivation. The ultimate driver of sustainability, then, will be faith. Faith does not mistake the wildness and bigness of creation for a chaos that needs to be controlled and dominated. Faith recognizes that our limits are not simply there to be overcome, but to remind us that there is only one who is truly limitless. All else depends on him to live and move and have our being. Only when we recognize that we do not and cannot sustain ourselves will we truly begin living a life that is sustainable in the long run. There you are, folks. I hope that that was interesting to some of you. I do apologize for any missteps in the reading. I know it wasn't the smoothest process in the world, but what I had to do, unfortunately, was listen to my computer's speech program read line by line and then repeat back what I heard. I am a blind person, so alas, that's what I have to do because I don't have a braille display at my disposal. Well, there you are. I couldn't agree more with this guy, Branson Parler. I absolutely agree with his vision that God is the limitless one, and he is the one that sustains us, and we have to have faith in that. Anyhow, I shall stop rambling now. Have a wonderful day.